And this is Morning Edition on WPR News. I'm Robin Washington in Superior. The Nemadji Trail Energy Center promises to bring to Superior 350 construction jobs and 25 permanent jobs, as well as $1 million in annual tax revenue. But the plan has become a bone of contention in the city, with some citizens and officials opposing it, citing concerns about public health and the environment. The two sides have been embroiled in legal battles, including years of rulings for and against the project by Wisconsin and Minnesota regulatory agencies and state courts. Most recently, the dispute centers around the power of the city to restrict the plant's construction via zoning regulations in a city council action this April. That was followed by an action last week by one of the proposed plant's partners preserving their rights to nullify that action. Those partners are Minnesota Power, Basin Electric Power Cooperative of North Dakota, and the La Crosse-based Darylin Power Cooperative, whose Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Ben Porth joins us now. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Ben.
Well, thank you, Robin. Nice to be here today.
So we previously heard an opposing view from Superior Mayor Jim Payne and Lynn Wolwin of Neighbors Against NTEC. Their interview may be heard on WPR.org. So, Ben, the critics disagree with you on the environmental effects, which we can get to in a moment, but they also dispute the number of jobs to be created. That sounds pretty empirical. Can you affirm those numbers, 25 permanent and 350 construction jobs?
Robin, yes, I can. Obviously, during the construction of a major infrastructure project like this, there will be up to 350 folks working to anywhere from doing the getting the ground ready to the actual physical construction of the plant itself. And then once construction is complete, obviously a natural gas plant like this that needs to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year will need, you know, a number of folks to work rotating shift and crew work. So 25 folks is how many you'll need to staff this properly.
And what about the environmental effects? The basic argument against is that any fossil fuel, even a cleaner one, just kicks the can down the road further for transitioning to truly renewable power sources.
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. And we've heard that there's an ongoing debate in our industry of how we make the energy transition. I think utilities such as Darylin Power and our partners on the NTEC project all agree that we as a country need to go to a lower carbon future. So really the question is, how do we get to that lower carbon future and how long is it going to take? And we look at natural gas as that transition fuel that will help us get there, because while wind and solar are good, there are times when, as we all know, they're intermittent, they're based on the weather, they're not always there. And we just, as a country, have not got storage right yet. It's just not ready. So we need natural gas as that transition fuel, which is much lower carbon intensity than things like coal.
So why is Superior the ideal place for this type of a plant, especially since it already has heavy industry, including an oil refinery that, you know, had a serious explosion a while back?
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we're looking at it is because of the neighborhood it would be located in. But really, I think the primary interest for us as utilities, we're looking at kind of where we have an intersection of natural gas pipeline. Where does a pipeline that could supply this size of plant already exist, and there's a good pipeline infrastructure in that area? Where is there high voltage transmission access so that you could interconnect to the grid more easily than other locations? And there's some high voltage lines from the Duluth Superior area to central Wisconsin that we could utilize. And then it's just in the bigger high voltage grid that's already highly congested, because there's just a lot of energy that needs to move from, say, the wind-rich areas of Minnesota, the Dakotas, and Iowa. This is kind of outside of that area, and so it would be a good area to put aside a power plant from being able to just interconnect it to the grid and having it be able to put power onto the grid.
Your supporters include the Superior Chamber of Commerce, but also local labor unions. Tell us about that alliance.
Yeah, I think with utility infrastructure being very capital intensive, so there's a really good opportunity for the labor unions and local labor to employ their folks and have good quality family supporting jobs during the construction period. So I think there's a really good synergy, whether it's building power transmission lines or power plants, with the local labor unions.
The opponents say the $1 billion isn't an investment because it'll come from ratepayers, including from Superior, and suggesting that locals themselves will be footing the bill. Not true or oversimplified?
I think oversimplified is a good way to put it, because all infrastructure has to get paid for somehow. When Garland Power, we are a cooperative, so we're a not-for-profit business. We get the majority of the capital, the funding for our projects from the Rural Utility Services, which is a sub-department under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So we're deploying those funds to the benefit of our members. And as a nonprofit, right, we don't have a profit motive built into this. So really what we're trying to do is serve our members at the most reasonable cost to maintain reliability and good quality service. So I think oversimplification, the way that was stated by the opponents.
And lastly, any other issues I didn't ask that you'd like to address?
Yeah, I think probably the needs case for this power plant. Why now? Why here? There's national level regulators who look at the power system in our region. But as they look at that and they're studying the grid 10, 20, 30 years out, they're saying there's significant concerns about reliability of the grid as more of those historic centralized power plants, coal, nuclear, older natural gas plants retire. And they're not being backfilled by things that we need under certain conditions, i.e. when the sun's not shining, there's a wind drought, right? The wind is not blowing strong for the 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 day period. You need something there to keep the grid on and reliable. And that's what a plant like Nemadji Trail does.
We've been speaking with Ben Porth. He's Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Dairyland Power Cooperative based in La Crosse. Thank you for joining us, Ben.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate the opportunity.
Earlier this week, we spoke with opponents to the plan. Their conversation may be heard at WPR.org. And if you have an idea about something in northern Wisconsin you think we should talk about on Morning Edition, send it to us. Our email address is northern@WPR.org. And you can always find great stories from WPR News online at WPR.org. I'm Robin Washington from our Bureau in Superior. This is Morning Edition on WPR News.